way, there will be a special offering next Sabbath for the victims of the flood. The North American Division of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is taking up an offering, a special offering, and I imagine we will be doing that as well. Check with our treasurer, and we will be taking up a special offering. This is going to take billions of dollars, and so we want to show our concern through in a monetary way that we're supportive of those victims. And imagine so many people will be moving out of Houston, trying to find a place to stay. And it's a sobering lesson because it told me that why am I getting attached to these little things down here on earth? Why am I getting so attached and emotional about somebody hitting my car? About somebody stealing something from me, and then just these little things that don't mean anything. People are losing everything. Homes. I saw some big old mansions there, just being flooded in Houston. Just water and just losing everything but their lives, and their lives still lost. And there's a lesson in that too. Those who wanted to hang on to those things, come on and stay in the house. They're gonna ride it out. They didn't want to leave. They're so emotionally attached to their homes that they didn't want to leave, and they lost their lives. That's a lesson in us. Lesson there. Why are we getting so emotionally attached to things? We just don't want to let them go. There's a sermon in that. But our prayers go out. Our prayers go out to those in Houston, and we'll continue to pray for the families, and if any of you are affected, we're going to pray for you too. And all this happened, I tell you, in the midst of so many other things happening. I know that it seems like the devil is just attacking our women for some reason. I mean, there's just, we're still, you know, my family's still reeling from the death of my sister-in-law, Gail. We hadn't even gotten over that. And then the devil hits again, and he hits my wife this time. And it was just, for those of you who don't know, on August the 18th, Linda, we walked out of a restaurant in Oakland, and she began to stagger. And I always would blame it on her diabetes, you know, whether her sugar levels are up and down. Those of you who have diabetes, please make sure your numbers are right. I'm warning you. Diabetes is a silent killer. It takes you when you least expect it. You may be feeling fine, but inside your body's being transformed, not for the good. And so that was considered the first stroke that she had, August the 18th, as we walked out of a little place to eat in Oakland there. I thought it was her diabetes. She was acting like she was just drunk. I mean, she couldn't walk. And I said, well, let's get back in the car. We went back to the hotel room, and then the next morning she was fine. And then Sabbath, she rested all day, slept very heavy. And then August the 20th was her second stroke, which happened about an hour outside of Bakersfield on the 5. We were on our way home from a funeral we attended up in Oakland, Adrian Reese's funeral. And so we stopped to get some gas, and she tried to get out of the car to use the bathroom, and she was just dragging one of her legs and disoriented, and some weakness on one side of her face. And so we were out in the middle of nowhere at one of these gas stations off the 5, and so I just begin to pray, Lord, what am I to do right now? You know, I'm going to call 911, and I don't know who's near, a hospital near. So the Lord just said, put her in the car and just, you know, put the pedal to the metal and try to get to San Joaquin. And so that's what I did, and God blessed. I don't know how fast I was going. I was breaking the speed limit, but we got there. I called my nephew Earl, Dr. Earl, and he met us in the emergency room, and managed to get her out of the car into the emergency room, and it was confirmed that she had a stroke, and second stroke. And so, and since then, it just seemed like time stood still, you know, and everything has changed in our lives. But you know, I have a message today. I have a message today. You know, I'm still standing. Family's still standing. You know, Satan attacks, but you know, we're still standing. You know, we're not counted out. Not counted out yet. So we want you to continue to pray for Linda. She sends her love, and she appreciates those that sent the beautiful flowers to her. Everybody has been so nice. The vice president of the hospital there just come to visit her and prayed with her. And everybody seems to have come through. Angela there at the hospital, Angela Newton was there with the menu and fixing up her diet. And there's a lot of support coming. Some of you physicians here have lended your advice to her. But my warning is to if you suffer from diabetes and high blood pressure, just get serious, and because it just that was the root of the problem. Diabetes, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol. Those are the killers, especially in the Black community. So I want to advise you to check your pressures. We do have blood pressure checks here, and take your sugar. You know, take your sugar. It may be a little prick, but go ahead and take it and see where you're at, and then get the right medication. So Linda's there. It's just all new to her. You know, new life, new medication. And but God is good. God is good. I just want to thank you for praying for her as well. It's good to see the visitors here, and Renee and Melissa. Good to see you guys all the way from East Palo Alto. Visitors here today. And there is some good news. I just got a text from my sister-in-law. And as you know, Earl and Stevie and Shalaya and Shalana, they're all at Oakwood this weekend. They're having the Oakwood High School alumni this weekend. So they're all there. They're products of Southside, Shalaya and Shalana. They're there with their singing group, and they're singing. So praise the Lord for that. And Emma just texted me and told me that Stevie received the President's Award there at Oakwood, and I'm just thankful for that. That there is some good news along with all this bad news. There's some good news coming in, and that's a good thing. He received the President's Honoree Award. Can you say amen to that? I thank the Lord for His faithfulness and His service to the Lord, and continue to pray for Stevie and his ministry of music. I want to look at a scripture this morning, and it won't be long, coming from the book of Zechariah, the first chapter in verse 8. Zechariah, the first chapter in verse 8. And I found some comfort in this scripture as through this whole ordeal. I found comfort in this particular scripture. Zechariah chapter 1, verses 8, I received information. William Curtis Houston preached a sermon at Oakwood, and I received a lot of information from his sermon. I appreciate his ministry. William Curtis Houston is a wonderful preacher. He preached at Oakwood back in 2012. And so we're going to look at Zechariah chapter 1, verse 8. And I want to entitle this sermon, Where Myrtle Trees Grow. grow. Let's talk to God now. Father, you know how I feel now, Lord, and I just thank you for the energy and the strength you've given me to stand before your people this morning. I thank you for health and strength. Lord, I ask that you fill me, be with my vocal cords, that I may speak loud and clear this morning, holding nothing back. I thank you for your people who have gathered here this Sabbath morning, Lord, to give you praise, glory, and worship. I thank you for our praise team, Judith and her ministry this morning, Lord, who have lifted my soul this morning and lifted the name of Jesus, Lord, to prepare us for the word of God this morning, Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Zechariah, first chapter. I'm just going to dwell on verse 8, Zechariah 1, verse 8. Zechariah. You know, Zechariah is having these eight visions. He gave him eight visions. And the Bible says, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse. And it stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow. And behind him were horses, red, sorrel, and white. Red, sorrel, and white. God gave Zechariah eight visions, and all strangely in the same night. Eight visions. The first one, he's wide awake, and they're like short bursts of dreams. He sees this man riding on a red horse, the angel of Jehovah, and this lead horse is red, and the rider is seated among these myrtle trees down in the valley, growing in the bottom of this valley area, this low valley area. And this low valley represents the low condition of the Jewish church back then. And all this scripture is doing is it's letting us know that even in this valley condition that the church was in this vision that Zechariah sees, God is giving his presence even in the valley. Not excluded from the protective power of God. God surveys the low places and he guards them too. And he wanted to force his people in this valley because of their disobedience to him. He had a message for them. He wants them to listen to him. And he knows the only way to get them to listen, Hurricane Harvey. Sometimes God works that way. As of the horses stopped in this ravine, this low valley, and even though the church was in a low condition, Christ was present in the midst of his church. He seems to always be present where his church is, even in the low places, in the valleys, ready to appear for the relief of his people. And behind this figure on this red horse were angels. They were ready to be employed by him, if you read this whole chapter of Zechariah. Ready to appear for the relief of this people. Ready to be taught. Ready to be taught. And the Bible tells us that if these people were humbly, if they were desirous to learn from God, he had a lesson for them to learn down in this deep, dark valley. I don't know about you, church, but I want to be ready when God speaks to me. If he has to take me down in the valley of the shadow of death. And that's the way I've been feeling. That's why this scripture touched me this week. I've been feeling down in the valley this week. Been feeling down in the valley with my wife, looking at her in the hospital bed and not knowing how things are going to turn out. I still don't know. Doubts come into my mind and depression comes into my mind as to what I'm going to do when she gets out. How is life going to change once she gets out of the hospital? So doubt comes into my mind, this valley experience. And I said, Lord, why are you putting me through this valley? And you must be wondering what this scripture has to do with it. Well, these myrtle trees, I looked into it, did some research on these myrtle trees that were down in this low place that God's people were. This angel that's on this horse, and this angel riding down among these myrtle trees. And I was studying that these myrtle trees are really not supposed to grow down in these valleys. And how God expects his people to grow in places where we're not supposed to thrive. In unexpected places, God expects us to grow, these valley places. Why does he take us to these low places in our lives? And I know it's just to mature our faith. And actually, these myrtle trees are unlike any other tree in the Bible. They're mentioned about 7 times in the Bible. Well, these myrtle trees seem to thrive in shaded places, in the dark places of the valley. They thrive while other trees would be killed. And you and I must go through the valley sometimes. And you know, being human, we fight to avoid these low places. We like to stay in the high places. We want to be on the mountaintop all the time. We're comfortable in that mountaintop experience when we're praising the Lord. But the low places can be preferred places as well. Low places can provide transformation in our lives. See, you can't get some things on the mountain that you can get in the valleys. And my question, are you controlled by your environment? Does it matter where you are in your worship experience? Or if you're always on a high in your worship experience, are you controlled by where you are, your feelings? Are you mastered more by the need of approval from others? We should be the same whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley. Be the same in the valley. Whatever you are on the mountain, you ought to be sustained in the valley as well, knowing that God is with you to sustain you in those dark areas of your life. So God today invites us to be like those myrtle trees. It's not that we prefer the life in the valley, but we're definitely not afraid of it. Why? Because God stands with us, ready and willing and able to help us. Sometimes we wonder why God sends us into these dark, deep valleys. I remember the first church I pastored was in San Jose. And I didn't know when I came there that the church had many, many problems. Many, many problems, church. Financial issues. Had a treasure that wouldn't turn in the tides. Marital issues in the church. They didn't tell me that when I got there. That was my first valley experience. But I know that in that experience, God strengthened me. He had a place for me. He said, Steve, I'm going to give you, you may not like the church, but I'm going to be there with you. And if you depend on me, some things are going to change. That was my valley experience in my first church. I remember coming to prayer meeting and maybe one or two people being there. My valley experience, tithes were under $15,000. I didn't prefer that experience, but sometimes when God assigns you to the valley, it's God's way of saying that, okay, you've just entered into a season of transformation. I need to send you through that experience to transform your life. Evidently, there was something in me that needed to change, and God needed to send me there to make that change happen in my life. Sometimes pain is a prelude to what God intends to send afterwards. Sometimes pain and struggle and these valley experiences are prelude to what God intends to send afterwards. He wants us to keep our minds on the things that will happen to us afterwards, after we're transformed by his renewing power, and not so much concerned with what we're going through now. And it's hard to think about that. I remember going to concerts when I was young, and the main artists would come out after they would bring out a local talent first. They would bring out a local talent first, and the local talent would not be as good as the main talent. You see, the main talent wouldn't come out first. They'd send out just somebody in the town, a local talent. Not as good. And then the main talent would come out later. The local talent was just to prime the audience for the main talent. So in this experience, God is telling us, just be patient. When the main talent comes, you almost appreciate the main talent more when you hear this little local band playing. It's just the front act. It's not the main act. And we just need to hang in there. The main attraction is coming. And the ticket that you bought for the main attraction is going to be well worth it if you can just sit through this local talent. The Bible says, wait and be of good cheer. Be of good courage, because you know the main attraction will be worth it. If you're going through a valley experience, God is telling you to just hang in there. You're just seeing the front act. These myrtle trees that stand in these valleys, I discovered a lesson from these myrtle trees. Myrtle trees are strong. Their root system joined together. And it reminded me of God's church and how if we unite as a people, we could become stronger. The roots of these myrtle trees, they get their strength from each other. They almost combine to gather strength. In times of drought, the roots come together and they go deeper and deeper into the soil until they find water. Oh, how I wish the church was like myrtle trees, joining together and becoming stronger. That valley experience, the author Gilbert Chesterton says, one sees great things from the valley, and small things from the peak. One sees great things in the valley experiences. Sometimes God sends us through these valleys so we could see him clear. Sometimes when we're on the mountain too long, when things are going well too long, we look down and things seem small. God seems small. And God has to send us through a valley, a dark valley experience, just so he could be magnified. Some of us have treated church like it's just routine. And God has to take you down a little bit to let you know, I'm God, I'm in control, and I'm the one to be worshiped. He afflicts us for our good. You've been minimizing his presence from the mountaintop experience. See, from the valley, everything looks big. Hard to see the power of God from the mountaintop all the time. Myrtle trees, can you grow where you are? Growing where you are in your life experience, these storms that pass through your life. Someone once says that there's only three areas in your life that you'll be in. One, you'll be in a storm. Two, you just got out of a storm. And three, you're getting ready to go into a storm. God can plant greatness in low places. It's in the valley that we grow. It's in the valleys, these dark places, these lonely places in our lives that we grow. And that was my prayer to God this week. Lord, I'm traveling down the 5. Everything's going well. And all of a sudden, you put this on me. Am I able to bear this? Can I bear this? But I know. I felt your prayers for the family. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to be with me this morning. You know, when I look at my little empty pew over there, I miss my wife. There's something about her presence that just lets me know everything is all right. She gives me strength. Some of you don't understand until you get married. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be a pastor. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. So, yes, it's a dark time right now in my life, but I know that God is there with me. I know he's going to sustain me. I know that. Mother used to tell me, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. But it's in these areas, these valleys, that we grow. There's a poem that I got comfort from by Jane Eagleston. And the poem goes something like this. It's in the valleys I grow. And we can get Corey on the organ. I'm about ready to wrap it up right now. It's in these valleys that we grow. Grow. It seems not to make sense. But it's while we're going through the pain in our lives, maybe your own illness, maybe your own financial issues, your family that's lost a loved one, these pain, these emotional feelings, we're growing. That's where growth takes place. In the valleys, I grow. She says, it's in the valleys I grow. Sometimes life seems hard to bear, full of sorrow, trouble, and woe. It's then I have to remember that it's in the valleys I grow. If I always stayed on the mountaintop and never experienced pain, I would never appreciate God's love and would be living in vain. I have so much to learn and my growth is very slow. Sometimes I need the mountaintops, but it's in the valleys I grow. I do not always understand why things happen as they do. But I'm very sure of one thing, my Lord will see me through. My little valleys are nothing when I picture Christ on the cross. He went through the valley of the shadow of death. He went through the valley of the shadow of death. His victory was Satan's loss. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining when I'm feeling so low. Just give me a gentle reminder that it's in the valleys that I grow. Continue to strengthen me, Lord, and use my life each day to share your love with others and help them find their way. Thank you for the valleys. Thank you for the valleys. Lord, for this one thing I know. The mountaintops are glorious, but it's in the valley that I grow. It's in the valley that I grow. And I can recall over 2,000 years ago, my Jesus went through a valley in Gethsemane. He went through a valley, shedding tears of blood and in that Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Lord, take this cup. That was Jesus' valley, but he took it. Walked to Golgotha on that hill. Went on up the hill with his cross. Nailed to that cross, hung on that cross. That was my Jesus' valley. For us, not for him, he was an innocent man. He did it for us. So my valley doesn't seem very big when I look at the cross. My valley seems small when I look at my Savior and compare my valley, my low place in life to his. So the Bible tells us to always look up. Look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look with what he's gone through. He was bruised for our iniquities. Beaten and scorned and spit upon, and with his stripes we are healed. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're going through today. You may be in a valley experience too. Maybe you're on the mountaintop. Maybe you're feeling good today. Been feeling good all month, but some of you may be going through a valley experience. You have a loved one. Maybe things just aren't right at home. You wish things were better. But I'm here to tell you, God has placed you there for a reason. He's trying to grow you. You know, Ellen White says the only thing that we're going to take to heaven is our characters, right? How do we get these characters in shape before we go to heaven? Do you think mountaintop experience is where shapes our characters all the time? Everything is good, going well all the time. We rejoicing and got a good job and things are going well, got houses and lands and property. That won't chisel these rough characters and personalities we have, these selfish hearts that we have. We need to be chiseled. And the chiseling occurs in the valleys, these low places in life. God is trying to get our characters together for heaven. You wonder why you have to go through. That was my thoughts this week. Why are you giving this to me now? I had some plans for us. I wanted to go on another little mini vacation. You know, we want to go out to the beach and have some fun in life now that we're in our 60s. I got some plans, Lord. Why are you causing this now? But I must receive it. I must receive this. This is good for me. Oh, yeah, it's painful, but it's good for me. There's some chiseling in my character that God needs to do. I'm not ready yet. You're not ready yet. That's why God sends us to these low places in our lives. But thank God, he wants us to stand like the myrtle trees. He wants us to be strong like these myrtle trees and sink our roots in deep. He doesn't want us to be wavering and washed away with every wind of doctrine. He wants us to be strong, stable and sturdy, faithful and true, like the tree planted by the river. I shall not be moved. That's like the myrtle tree. So I preach to you in pain today, but I'm good. I'm good. As long as God is by my side. Now, if he leaves me, I fall apart. Somebody have to come get me. If he leaves me, I'll fall apart. I got to keep going. I got to keep trusting. I got to keep believing. I got to keep going. I got to keep trusting. I got to keep believing. I don't have time to fall. I got to keep looking up. Keep looking up. So as I close today, I appreciate your prayers. I'm praying for you. I can't be selfish and think about me. There's people in Houston that have lost everything. Family members, 3 and 4 family members died. Oh, Lord, but it reminds us that we're not here. This is temporary life. Don't ever get a hold on things so tightly down here. Your little money you have, your 401ks, and there are people not don't even have a car to sleep in now. Don't have anything. Realize where you are in life. We're some of the most blessed people on the planet Earth in North America. And some of you know it. Some of you have traveled to third world countries. We've got too much. And I see why God sometimes has to allow calamities in our lives, sickness or something to call our attention. Hey, wake up. I'm coming. Stop getting attached to those things on this earth. Loosen up. Give. I'm coming soon. Even when we look at our lives, we cling to these lives so much. We want life. We want to live. God's trying to change our characters. He's trying to prepare his people for heaven. So whatever you're going through, if you're with me in the valley right now, listen, God is there. God is with you in the valley. He's with you in the valley, and he's going to see you through. Learn your lesson, though, while you're in the valley. Learn the lesson that he wants to teach you. So let's bow our heads now as we close. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing your word to go out clear this morning. That although some of us may feel we're down in the valley, Lord, we're going through trials and tribulations, even myself, Lord, but knowing that you are there with me, Lord, riding on a horse beside me, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. That's your word, Lord. That's one of the promises in your word. And I believe it, Jesus. I believe it. I believe it. I know that's true, that you said you'd never leave me. So, Lord, if there's somebody going through some changes right now, I'm not asking that you change the situation, Lord. Just be there with them. Because, Lord, when they go through this, they're going to come out like pure gold. So that when you come,
when the clouds crack and the sky shakes and the elements burn, when you come, Lord, through the clouds of glory, that everyone here under the sound of my voice will hear your voice and will raise up, uncorruptible, perfect, ready to meet you, Lord. That day is coming, Lord. We believe it. We don't doubt it. We receive it, that you're coming again and you're coming soon. Help us to get detached from these things on this earth. People, family, things, cars, houses, jobs, whatever it is, Lord, detach us. Detach our emotions from it. Whatever it takes, Lord, save us. Save us when you come, Lord. Lord, I look forward to worshiping with the Southside members in glory one day. Shouting forever, walking down the streets of gold, plucking the fruit from the tree of life, Lord, rubbing the leaves on me for the healing of the nations, Father, and just having a wonderful time, especially being next to you, Lord. Oh, what a day it will be. What a day it will be, Lord, when all the trials, all the sicknesses, all the hospitals and the crutches and canes and wheelchairs and bills and Wall Street, everything will be passed away, Lord. Oh, Lord, give us faith that we need to believe every drop of your word, Father. We pray this prayer, Lord, because we pray it in the strong name of Jesus. There's power in that name. And we call on you, Lord, this morning. There's deliverance in that name. There's healing in your name. There's salvation in your name. For there's no other name under the heavens by which men will be saved other than your name, Lord. The name of Jesus. Thank you for being a strong tower in our lives this morning, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your church. The gathering today, people from all walks of life. Thank you for this worship experience today. Young and old, rich and poor, coming together to worship you, Lord. Lord, we need this experience to take us through the week. We don't know what's ahead of us. There may be a storm. There may be a Hurricane Harvey in our lives this week, Lord. Something that we can't control. We don't know. But God, give us strength. Give us faith to know that you're there with us. Help us not to neglect the coming together, Lord. And like those myrtle trees that strengthen one another by their roots, help us as Southside to come together and strengthen one another, Father. Uplift one another. We give you praise this morning, Father. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Holy Spirit. And in those three names I pray, let the church say amen. Amen, amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for praying for my son, Aaron. I can report that God is in control of everything. Hallelujah. He is in control. Aaron had a single car accident. Aaron was here this morning. He dropped my mother off at church and came into the choir room to speak to us. Then he left, hopped on the freeway, And a car stopped suddenly in front of him, and he swerved to miss the car and hit the cement embankment, and it spun the car around. He has a teeny tiny scratch on his arm. That's it. So thank you so much for praying for him. And you know what? Continue to pray for him. I'm not going to preach a sermon. I could, but I'm not going to. But I just want you to know, Satan has been after my child since he was very young. You know, he was a baby, and then there was an incident with a gun when he and Nick were 3 and 5 years old. He went to a party, somebody pulled a gun on him, pulled the trigger, the gun didn't go. I'm just telling you, Satan is after my child. And I told him that today. If you had stayed at church, you wouldn't have been in that accident. You need to recognize that God, that Satan, Mom, I'm nobody. Why does Satan want me? Because God loves you. He has something special for you, in store for you. He's trying to get in your way. He's trying to get in God's way. So just continue to pray for him and pray for our young people. I saw something this week that said, one of our members, I think, posted on Facebook, you don't know what we go through during the week. We come and we put on our Sabbath faces. You don't know. You don't know. So be prayed up. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. So I just had to get that out. And I missed the announcement period because I had to run out. So I'll just make this really quick. Sister Shirley